Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is KJ and Lyons. KJ Carson and John Lyons right now on WEEI.
Oh, the Prince's time is now. It's KJ and Lyons, WEEI, 617-779-7937. Text line 37937. That's ESPN's Adam Schefter, who was on the WEEI afternoon show with Andy Hart and Christian Arcan earlier. Drake May's the guy now, and John, here's Drake.
Yep, here he is, and at a time, KJ, I'm a little surprised here at this time, because not that maybe he is ready, maybe he's not ready, I'm not sure, I'm not in that building, but, I mean, you look at what they're facing in Houston compared to what they faced last week in Miami and what they'll face the week after in Jacksonville. Like, of those three games, they're deciding to put him in, I think, clearly the toughest spot, and I think there's a lot of layers to this. There's the, is May ready? Is the team ready to support him? Is there a reactionary element to this? Like, there's a lot going on here. I don't think this is your traditional, hey, starting quarterback decision like we've seen in years past here.
617-779-7937. Too soon, right on time, not soon enough. Now, I thought that he would get the start in London. So I'm, what, a week off?
Yeah, and I think, to your point, that, to me, would have been a better landing spot than Houston. Like, I feel like this, to me, KJ, this feels a little reactionary, and it feels a week or two early.
Well, what it may reveal is that maybe there is some type of substance to, hey, if we ain't getting it done with this guy, why aren't we playing this guy? And I think probably the worst thing that could happen is you go through another Houston week. It looks like the previous 5 weeks, right? Like Cincinnati seems like 2 years ago now.
Yeah, no kidding.
And then what does the plane ride look like, sound like, feel like? What's the energy? And then it becomes and then what? You have a national game because, watch this, on the national game that was played from London last week, just a couple days ago, the head coach got fired on Tuesday. So if you've got issues going on that are real, just you're trying to do your best to hide them behind, it's like, I hate to use this as an analogy, but gosh, the marriage is absolutely going bad already. But we have a kid together. Let's put the kid in there so he can sing and dance and save this marriage. It almost feels like Drake May is the baby that's trying to save a marriage that might already be kind of going bad.
And you look at where things are at, right? And I've said this all along, KJ, that there was two things that needed to happen, or a twofold part of this for Drake May to start. Point number one was his own development. Now, he looked okay in the preseason. I was down there at training camp. I thought he had some really good moments. Andy Hart phrased it as fine plus a lot of the time, which I frankly agree with.
That sounds like a C plus.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, but I agreed, you know, with that. You know, he's fine, and occasionally the plus play, you want to call it a C plus, that's fine. But that was step number one. Okay, is this guy ready? And I'm not there. We're not in the building, so I guess we have to trust them on that. But then the other fold or part of this is the operation around him ready? And I got to be honest, KJ, you look at what happened the last few weeks, it doesn't feel to me like an operation that's ready to support him. And look, I think he's going to be good. I think he's going to have a good career. But you started five different offensive line combinations in 5 weeks. Your play caller, I think, made some serious mistakes against Miami, also made some against Seattle. Your head coach, I think, made some mistakes as well. Your pass catchers, I think, have gotten a little bit better. And even your offensive line has gotten a little bit better, but it just doesn't feel like they're at a point where you can start him against a Houston team that, by the way, KJ, fourth in yards allowed, third in pass yards per game, eighth in sacks, eighth
their
in
eyes just rating. Got really big.
Yeah, I mean, you look at that Houston roster, man, like Will Anderson Jr., Danielle Hunter, Derek Sting, like there's some dogs on that defense. As opposed to Miami, whose defense I don't think was good, and you had the target of Jacksonville. Like, I don't think their defense is that great
right. Overall.
And even after that, the Jets in Week 8, that's a team that is obviously reeling right now. They just fired their head coach, and it's the one team that May actually has game experience against already, albeit in garbage time. Week 9, Tennessee, I think they're a bad team. So there's all these other opportunities around this game to start them. And I just am sitting here thinking, why did they pick this one? I mean, maybe his development's in a good place, but that
I don't think it's raced that fast. I mean, how often has he been getting? I mean, it hasn't been more than what, the 30% reps with the first team, right? So it's not like, hey, you saw an increase of reps. I think there's just, let me ask you this. Do you think this is an upstairs call? Like above?
I think they're, it feels like they're involved. Let me ask you this.
Go ahead. Do you feel like Mayo's on one side of the room where he was, remember the comments, hey, Drake May was the best quarterback coming at the end of preseason when he makes that statement. Remember, Jerod Mayo's pretty much worn every comment on his sleeve. But if Alex Van Pelt is saying, no, I don't think he's ready yet, it's almost kind of like, when are you going to serve the dish? Does Jerod Mayo potentially have to go upstairs and say, look, we need to pull something now. If the guy's not ready now, when is he ever going to be ready? Like, almost like the defensive player in him takes over, but he's the head coach. Almost like, hey, Alex Van Pelt, I'm going to trust you all the way through, but I don't feel like I should have to wake you up out of bed and be ready to go to school. It feels like he's being, like, is Alex Van Pelt being shook to make this happen?
Let me answer your question with a question, KJ.
Yeah.
If Jalen Polk had gotten both feet down in bounds the other day, do you think Drake May would be starting?
No.
So what does that tell you? It's not just Mayo or Van Pelt's call. And maybe it's collaborative. Maybe Wolf's involved. Maybe Kraft's involved. I don't know.
Right, because you're a 2-3 team. Jets are 2-3. Dolphins are 2-3. So you're really talking about, hey, anybody can go on a run and you didn't expect to be in this place. It probably at least buys you 2 or 3 more weeks. I would even say if Jalen Polk just gets – if there's no way you can just physically fall the way he did and just get the, you know, toe tap backwards. I've never seen that happen. But like you're right. If that's a win, I probably have to push back and say, okay, Drake May doesn't start in London. You probably see what happens once you get to that next Jets game. Yeah. After that, maybe you make a decision. So what, like week 8 or 9 or something like that?
Yeah, and that week 9 Tennessee game I was mentioning earlier. Yeah, and because if Jalen Polk gets his foot in bounds, what are you and I talking about right now? I know what I guarantee you what we're saying is, hey, they won a game against a divisional opponent. It was a sloppy game, but they did enough to win. Maybe this can be a building block. Oh, by the way, their offensive line probably played the best it's played over the course of the season so far. Let's not forget they averaged 7.9 yards per carry running the ball, and Brissett was only sacked, what, twice, and they were both in the first series of the game. So your offensive line played a little bit better. Polk would have had another touchdown. We would be having a much different conversation because then you'd be 2-3. We could say you were very close and maybe some growing pains away from being 3-2 with a win over Seattle. Now they're 1-4 after a really sloppy, bad loss. I'd say not the worst loss of the last few years, but maybe a top 10 worst loss of the last few years. And all of a sudden, Drake May's the starter. Like that to me is the key pointer. If Jalen Polk gets both feet down, I just don't think Drake May is the same. One further.
What if DK Metcalf's catch was Debo Samuel's catch, and Debo Samuel's catch was DK Metcalf's catch? In those games, you see what I'm saying? Take that DK Metcalf.
What if your field goal against Seattle's not blocked?
Well, you don't even need that. Let's just say you stop DK Metcalf from scoring 59 yards with nobody behind you, but you stop it the way that you stopped Debo Samuel in the San Francisco game. Well, then you don't even have to worry about a blocked field goal. You win the game by 3. So if you just hold them to a field goal instead of a touchdown there. So it's one of those situations where this team actually could be 3-2, and I think there would still be some calls for May because I think there's just this desire to see him no matter what. If they were undefeated, you'd say, hey, this is a perfect time to put him in there. He might be able to give you a little more. But if the team is 3-2, I don't know if we're having even the conversation about Alex Van Pelt, because I've always said, as long as this team is able to fight and compete in games, and out of the 5 games, what, only 2 of them they were not in at all. What were we really expecting? Or did I not say when we've done shows together, man, weeks 2 through 7 are going to be brutal?
Yeah, you've been saying that all along, and so far they have been, right? And here's the other piece of this, KJ, and I think we're going to get into this a lot tonight. How many times since Drake May was drafted have we heard about the plan? right? Like, we have a plan for him. There's a plan. We're following the plan. I mean, I can't tell you how many times when I was down at training camp, I heard the coach say.
Well, he's supposed to use another word we have.
No, but here's my point, right? And I get it. But here's my point. Do you really think starting him in week six against a great Houston defense after starting five different offensive line combinations the first 5 weeks, does that really seem like what the plan was?
I'll tell you that. I'll give you that answer right after we get to Sorgia. 617-779-7937. Sorgia, you're on KJ and Lyons. Thanks for hanging out.
What's going on, guys? How are you?
You, man. Go ahead.
Just really quick here. So I was looking at PFF this morning. I don't have the exact stat in front of me, but basically, you know, the argument is nobody's saying that this offensive line is great, and it's probably not even competent. But I did find this actual stat that said that Jacoby Brissett on average has like 2.94 seconds to get the ball out, which is a lot more than you think about it. Like, there are guys like Mahomes and Dak who actually have less time. So I think what this comes down to is two things can be true at the same time, where the line is horrendous, but Jacoby is not able to get the ball out fast enough. And, you know, we've heard like these misleading reports, if you will, on the mutiny, believe what you want. But, you know, if I'm a young receiver in the league, you look at these contracts that some of these guys are getting, right? As a young receiver, you're looking at it and you go, if I'm not able to get my statistics up, you know, when I go to the negotiating table, if I have one bad season, it's not going to help. So, you know, the last thing I'll say is it's high time to put Drake May in. I mean, I love Boomer on the Greg Hill show, but yesterday he said that you're waiting for the right time. Unfortunately, there's no right time. Let's rip the Band-Aid off, go with Drake May, and he'll be able to open up the playbook for the incompetent AVP. But you guys enjoy your Tuesday night.
Thanks for the call. Yeah, you know, when I look at stats like that at 2.9 seconds, like if it's third and 14, I'm the defense. I'm just going to be like, yeah, let me see what they try to do.
Really? Yeah, look, and I think he makes a fair point in that one of my big criticisms of Brissett is he holds on to the ball too long. I think that can be true, but you're right. I mean, like, to compare it to the Chiefs offense that intentionally gets the ball out quick or Dallas's offense. I mean, PFF says Brissett's face pressure on 74 of his dropbacks, which is third most in the league.
See, that tells you more because at least there's a defense that's letting you know what they're doing.
Right. So, and again, I'm not totally discounting what Sorge is saying. I think there is an element of Brissett.
I'm 80% discounting it. Totally.
Okay. Yeah, 79%. Right. But there's an element of Brissett that holds onto the ball. And that's been something, frankly, I remember his first training camp in 2016. I was down covering them for a different outlet. And I said that then. And I know he was a rookie third round pick, but I was like, man, this guy holds onto the ball too long. And 8 years later, here we are, and he's doing the same thing. So I do think that is a fair criticism of Brissett, which partially played into this.
KJ and Lyons, WEEI next. Which stat line would you want to most apply to Drake May? You'll be fascinated at what you choose, and it's like the drink thing where they put him behind a little shoebox and you drink the drink and figure out what it is. That's coming next, but right now it's time to trend with Zach Coe.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Bruins kick off their regular season campaign tonight in Sunrise, facing off with the defending Stanley Cup champ Florida Panthers. No confirmation from the Bees on who will start in net tonight, but newly acquired Juuso Korpisalo was the first goalie off the ice during this morning's morning skate. Puck drop is set for a little after 7 p.m.
Is Tuukka Rask available?
He should be. Yeah, Tuukka would be better than Korpisalo for sure, who was one of the worst goalies in the NHL last year statistically. Big news on the Patriots front this afternoon, as Adam Schefter is reporting that the team has made the decision to start third overall pick Drake May for this weekend's matchup against the Houston Texans. Pats will welcome Houston to Gillette Stadium on Sunday, kickoff set for 1 p.m. In other NFL news, the New York Jets announced today that they fired head coach Robert Saleh this morning after Sunday's loss in London to the Vikings. Defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich has been named the interim head coach. In addition to the Bruins, there are two other NHL games starting today as a part of the season kickoff. Kraken and Blues facing off in Seattle. St. Louis has taken a 3-2 lead late in the second period. And the Blackhawks head to Utah to take on the Utah Hockey Club in the franchise debut of the yet-to-be-named team. Puck drop set for 10 p.m. Pair of National League Divisional Series games going down tonight. Phillies and Mets facing off at Citi Field. Currently, the Mets lead that one 2-0 in the fourth inning. And the Dodgers and Padres shift their series to San Diego. First pitch set for 9:08 p.m. Both those series tied at one game apiece. Sad news coming out of the Red Sox camp today. Red Sox Hall of Famer Louis Tiant has passed away at the age of 83. My name is Zach Coe. That's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More KJ and Lions coming up after this.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back to KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
Ah, those words are ringing very, very true these days. KJ and Lyons, WEEI, 617-779-7937, text line 37937. We're going to get to your calls here. John, I'm going to that was the answer I will get to about do you think this was part of the plan. Let's go to Dave in Connecticut. Dave, thanks for calling KJ and Lyons, and thank you for being part of the congregation. Just say amen, and you're part of it. Yeah, right.
Hey, guys, can you hear me?
Yeah, Dave, go ahead.
All right. Hey, you know, the whole Drake May thing, I'm looking forward to the ride and seeing what this kid can do. But I'll tell you, I'm concerned, you know, with this new offensive coordinator. You know, we got Drake May, and he's new, and we don't know what he is. We get this, you know, Van Pelt guy, and they're averaging, what, 8 yards a carry almost? And one of the worst passing offenses in football, and that's all the guy wants to do is throw the ball. So I think that factors in too, or maybe, you know, throw May in and it kind of fits his offense a little more. But it concerns me because I think the team is built to run. You know, you got those two big tight ends and the offensive line, it's a lot harder to pass block than run block, and it's a lot simpler to do so. So that really concerns me. Last thing I'll say is this, and I'm no way comparing these guys, any of these guys, to Brady and Bledsoe, but I remember when Bledsoe went down, you know, we had watched that offense forever, and Bledsoe was another guy that held the ball so long because he was so big. And as soon as Brady got in there, the offense looked different. And the ball was coming out faster, it was a little more accurate, and the whole offense looked different. So I'm really hoping May coming in, you know, kind of has that same effect.
Dave, thanks for the call. Kind of like Bailey Zappi a couple of years ago in comparison.
Yeah, I'm just that might be a better comparison, just in fairness to TB12. Look, I think the Alex Van Pelt thing is a reasonable concern. And KJ, we've talked about this a lot. Rookie head coach, rookie defensive coordinator, rookie special teams coordinator, and an offense coordinator who's been in the league a long time, but essentially in this position, he's a rookie. I know in 2009, he called plays for the Bills. I mean, that's 15 years ago. The NFL, that was like, what, 3 CBAs ago? Like, even the rules aren't the same. And I know football is football, but, like, there's some big differences. Like, I mean, you look at that end of first half sequence against Seattle was almost identical to the end of first half sequence against Miami, and that's not a good thing. And then that end of game sequence, I mean, you're at the 12-yard line with 1:13 to go, all three timeouts, and you call zero run plays when you're averaging 7.9 yards per carry. It's just, again, you have a bad passing offense. Why are you throwing so much? So, yeah, I think there's some reasonable concern there.
You just did a math problem there, didn't you? There's no math on this show.
I'm just, but yeah, true. I apologize. But like,
can we get to Dan? Let's get to Dan.
Let's go to Dan.
Dan probably doesn't have any math to do. Dan, thank you so much for calling KJ and Lyons. You're on the air.
I'm here. Amen, guys. How you doing tonight?
Amen. Amen.
Look, a couple quick points. I was listening to the show. I think Karen Garrigan was on, and she made a great point about something about Jacoby. You know, he's not an all-star, right? But, you know, he's been getting the crap kicked out of him. And she says it doesn't matter if it's Jacoby Brissett, Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, anybody, after like continuous beatings for weeks on end, you're going to start seeing things that you don't normally see, or rushing things that you normally wouldn't rush because you know you're going to get killed. And part of the reason I think that Jacoby has played bad the last couple of weeks is he's been pounded too much, and he's probably seeing ghosts. He's got the Sam Darnold thing. Yeah. And I think the problem, I want Mate to play, but my biggest problem is what we know for a fact is he's going to get killed. We know he's going to get hit a ton, no matter how much they try to run the ball. That's just anybody that's going to happen. And what I worry about is that eventually he's going to fall into the same trap that Jacoby or anybody else would have. And the worst case scenario is that I have to call in, or you guys have to report. We find out he's going to get hurt. He tears an ACL, and then his development, like he's playing in December, he tears an ACL, and then he's out all of next year too. And I just think, I know those just can happen at any time, but what I'm worried about is with this offense, the way it's constructed right now, the chances are infinitely higher of something bad happening to him. God knows, God prays it doesn't happen. But if you understand my point, that's just what I worry about the most. That's
Dan, Dan, thanks. Ralph and Cranston, you're on KJ and Lyons. Shoot.
Hey, guys. Look, I don't care about injuries or any of that. This team, I hope we don't fall into the trap of the Red Sox where we're thinking, you know what, this team maybe could do. This team is not a good football team. It is not a playoff team. Like play Brissett to maybe win six games. I want to see that the players that are going to be with this team in 2 years or more. What we're really judging, and so far it's kind of like, you know, negative, is the coaching staff. They haven't done a good job. We're looking at the guy who buys the groceries here. I mean, we don't seem, it doesn't seem to be like he's doing his job. But if we keep dwelling on, let's bring, you know, they should have won last week. This is not a playoff team. Build it. Build it to the draft, make a few good trades, and do what you're going to do. Guys, if I could say one thing,
yeah.
You know, I want to say rest in peace, the great Louis Tiant. I was so close to this man. Anyone who knew this guy is saddened today. He was such an amazing human being. He was by far, like, you know, one of the top two most popular Red Sox of all time. Williams, Daz, they weren't great with the fans. Big Papi and Louis Tiant were the two most popular guys. We lost an icon, especially people who remember him, and I was a little kid when he played. God rest his soul to the Tiant family. Thank you so much for what your father and your brother and what he gave to this area. I mean, rest in peace, Louis. Guys, I'm so saddened over it. It's amazing, but we lost an icon.
Yeah, real quick, his father was one of the tenants of the Negro Leagues towards its last days. And so Louis Tiant never forgot that and helped with some of the development of the museum over time. John, we've had Bob Kendrick, president of the museum, on here. But
my all-time favorite guest. By
real quick, my remembrance of Louis Tiant is after he leaves the Red Sox and he goes to the Yankees, he becomes the pitchman for Ballpark Franks. And I did some research, and it turns out part of Louis Tiant's contract when he went to the Yankees is that he was doing front office work. So part of it was he was one, like, for the Hispanic community, the Cuban community as well in New York, you did not see anybody pushing mainstream American products on television there. And so seeing Louis Tiant do the spin with the hot dog in his hand, I mean, that's something you just never forget as a kid. And again, I'm younger than the caller. Let's continue the conversation here with Drake May. It's KJ Lyons here on WEEI. Shane in the Cape, thanks for calling. You're not agreeing with Make being the starter.
Hey, what's up, guys? No, I just can't understand how week five they're like, oh, let's throw Drake May in there against Houston, a 4-1 team, Super Bowl contender. Like, Josh Allen just went 9-for-30 against the Houston Texans defense this past weekend. So, yeah, let's throw in first round pick in the first game. He'll fare much better. Just the lack of a plan is really concerning. There's no way that this is how they drew it up, and if it is, that'd be even crazier. But, you know, Drake May was considered a project and going to take the longest out of the guys, you know, who were available in the draft in the first round based on age, based on, you know, the system he's coming from, based on the amount of starts he's made. And all these experts, a lot of people are saying he's got to sit for a year, he's got to sit for 8 weeks, he's got to sit for 10 weeks, he's got footwork issues. He's got to learn a new offense, a different scheme. And now week five, we're just throwing him out there behind Nick Levert and these guys who can't protect Brissett, you know. So, you know, it's just really concerning. And for the future, you know, in his development, I think he would have been better suited in a Jordan Love type model of sitting out. And, you know, this is where it also goes to the fact that maybe Brissett isn't the guy, but, you know, they should have had someone else, you know, Bailey Zappe even, you know, someone else, a veteran who's played in the West Coast system, been with maybe Van Pelt, you know, who could come in and, you know, play a couple games and then hand it off. But, you know, it's just really concerning. This team should be 3-2, you know, and you can look at that. And John made a great point. Like, Jalen Polk should have caught that ball, in my opinion. You know, Brissett's throwing over Calais Campbell, throw it to the back line. You got to get 2 feet down and, you know, you win this game. And then, you know, Drake May isn't starting this week. So, you know, just really concerned about the future of the whole overall program and the leadership. But, you know, I echo a lot of what you guys have said and, you know, appreciate you taking my call.
Shane, thanks for being part of the KJ and Lions congregation. Amen.
Yeah. And go ahead, KJ.
Well, I was going to get to Brandon, who's waiting outside of the world on the Odyssey app, believes that May has a surprise for all of us about AVP. Brandon, thank you so much for calling KJ and Lions. It's rolling right now.
Thanks for taking my call, guys. I think this is going to defeat an argument that it's either going to come down now whether the play calling was a trust or non-trust of Jacoby, or if we start seeing Drake May just start slinging the ball everywhere, because if that's the case, it's going to expose that the offense coordinator did not trust Jacoby to get it done, so the play calling is completely different. And I think this move does come with a mutiny question in the locker room, maybe making that more of a legit statement rather than just a, well, what do you think? Have you heard any rumors? So it's a little bit of both. Play the kid, let's see what we got, and hope the best for him.
Brandon, thank you. Tim in Nashua, you're on KJ and Lions. Go ahead.
Guys, I want to attack structurally because not only did they not have a plan laid out for this kid to go in, but actually they had nobody in between. How do you think of a kid in developing him and not have anybody in between him and Jacoby? That's just like so mind-boggling. Can you guys please talk about that? I don't understand how they came to the decision of not having somebody in between and not developing this kid as raw as he was coming out of that draft.
So, John, back to your original question, right?
Yeah.
Do you think this was part of the plan?
Right, because think about it, KJ, okay? You're in it. You went 4-13 last year. You, and I know they called it the mutual parting of the ways, but that really felt like a firing. Like, you fire the greatest head coach of all time. You bring Bevins. In a rookie head coach, essentially a rookie OC, been in the league a long time, but for the position, essentially a rookie. A rookie defensive coordinator, a rookie GM, and I know they're calling him the executive vice president personnel wolf, and a rookie special teams coordinator. So a lot of rookie slash new slash inexperienced guys making decisions and running this thing. You draft Drake May. Okay, fine. Hey, Jalen Polk too. Great. You don't really adequately address the left tackle position. Now, not all Wolf's fault. Some of that goes on Belichick too. But you don't really adequately address it. You come into the year with the worst offensive line in the league. An inexperienced pass-catching group that maybe is better than last year, but is still probably not that good. Maybe eventually some of these guys can be good, but not there yet. Do you really think the plan was, we're going to be 1-4, lose a couple close games, do kind of the coaching mistakes, kind of the protection issues, kind of the quarterback, and then we're going to put the guy in against one of the toughest defenses he's going to face over the next month and a half? Like, really, look at the next 5-6 weeks of their schedule.
I haven't heard a yes or no. Yes or no was the plan. Yeah.
The Houston defense is better than Jacksonville's. It's better than Tennessee's. It's probably better than Chicago's. Like, do you really think, KJ, that this is exactly how the plan was supposed to go?
Yes. Remember, I said I thought he was going to be put in there a week later. I think because of some of the noise that's been popping up about what Alex Van Pelt hasn't done, Jacoby Brissett is underperforming than what he did in Cleveland with Alex Van Pelt. So, yeah, I think these are one of those things that you step in. You just move it up a week. Now, I know for you, it's probably moving it up 4 weeks, about a full month.
And also, can I add just one more point?
No, because I might said yes or no. So
five
yes.
offensive line combinations in 5 weeks.
Yeah, I could care less about that. Yes, I think
you're going to care when May gets smoked on
Sunday.
Well,
that's that. But you know what? That was going to happen either way. Like I think we're now beyond the point of saying, oh, man, he's going to get killed out there. Guess what? Joe Montana would get killed out there. Lamar Jackson would get killed out there. Now, granted, we're talking about speed and difference, and so, but you don't have that because if that's the case, you're like, okay, maybe you start looking at Joe Milton just to go the run around out there. But that's not the plan. Remember, Jerod Mayo said at the end of training camp that Drake May performed better. It was just a matter of when they would pull the switch of when to put him in there. I said weeks 2 through 7 were going to be brutal. I thought they did better than they were going to against Cincinnati with the win. Nobody saw that coming. But I did not expect Miami to be as bad as they were going to be. However, after 4 or 5 games, I had the Patriots winning one game before everything happened. And that might have been Seattle. So, yeah, this is where things are. And I thought that probably it would be a loss to Houston as well. That's probably still on the table. And then you put Drake May in. The only difference is now is probably Jacoby Brissett has probably a real injury going on that's not being reported that's going to make him even less efficient despite any efficiency you've seen out there. So it's like, might as well go with the guy. So yes, I do think this is part of the plan for Jerod Mayo. No, I don't think it was part of the plan for Alex Van Pelt.
Yeah, I just don't think the spot right here in Houston is part of the plan. And look, one of the earlier callers made a point that
you can't make the schedule.
There's no, you know, good situation for a quarterback to start. And I would agree, right? Because if you had a great situation, you probably wouldn't need a rookie quarterback, right? Like there's no perfect situation.
Well, at but home would be part of that equation. At home against an even opponent that you feel like you could compete. Maybe that would
be
a more...
You can compete against
Houston? This is not a... But at least it's at home. I thought a better situation would have been, hey, it's not a home or away game, and it's at 9:30, and it's in another country. Like, that's, I thought, how much perfect situation they needed. But if it's a week earlier, that's why it's like pregnancy, 40 weeks, the baby come at 36, it's still going to be like a regular baby. So it happens a week early, it's going to happen.
Sure, but why not do it in the best spot possible? Like, again, no spot's going to be great because you were a 4-13 team last year and you have a rookie quarterback. But like Jacksonville next week or Miami last week are both, to me, clearly better spots to make a change than Houston this week. That's just what I don't get. Because, again, I wanted May to play eventually. I think he's going to be good. It's just this spot, to me, feels like it's not part of what the kind of the plan was.
See, I'll tell you what. We'll get to Tim's call. We'll get to Colton's call. We still have Would You Rather More Likely To Either Or. That's still to come. But we're continuing this conversation. Drake May, starter this week against Houston. Too soon, just in time. What are you waiting for? That's next here on WEEI. Thanks for hanging out with KJ and Lyons.
KJ and Lyons on WEEI.
Yeah. KJ and Lyons. Saying hello to the congregation, 617-779-7937, text line 37937. We're minutes away from Would You Rather More Likely To Either Or. But of course, the big story, Drake May, named starter for this week's game here at home against Houston. Baby, no, please don't hurt my Drake, baby. I'm sorry. That's what it might feel like for some. Am I wrong, John?
No, you're not wrong.
Oh, my baby! Oh, baby, such a good boy, please. Look, hats off to Jacoby Brissett for being the crash test dummy so far. I think this is what you're just going to have to take with the good and the bad with Drake. Let's go to Tim in Hanover. Tim, thanks so much for calling KJ and Lyons. You're on the air.
Gentlemen, right back at you. I appreciate you taking my call.
You got
it. I want to say, KJ, I think you're right on target, brother. I think May was the plan. May was supposed to come out 2 games from now. This team is horrible. And let me tell you why I mean horrible. Last year, they were 1-4. I knew when I called it early in the year that they were going to be in last place between 4 teams. This year, they're going to be in the same predicament, 1 of 3 teams to be on the bottom of the barrel. The thing is, what they got to do is they have to play May, They got to play, I can't even think straight, Tennessee boy. Give it to me. Tennessee boy.
Joe Milton.
What's his name?
Joe Milton?
Milton. They got to play all these guys they acquired to see what they have. If they don't, and this is going to Robert Kraft. If you don't play these guys and see what you got, you're gonna go another 5 years to try and even have a competitive team if they don't find out what they got and what they need for next year, because they're going nowhere. I don't care who gets in that ball game.
Tim, thanks for the call. John, do you believe that maybe there's going to be a competition for number two between Milton and Brissett?
So in the short term, I think it's going to be Brissett as the number two. But if you look at if Joe Milton long term is your backup QB, like that's okay. I mean, that's an affordable backup QB. He's a good athlete.
Be the long term backup. What if he's the backup and then becomes the guy who you're like, you know what, maybe.
I don't see that this year. I think you. I mean, you want to talk about
this year?
Raw?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
No, I think Brissett's gone after this year, and then maybe Milton is your guy. But to his point, like, one thing to watch for over the next six, seven, 8 weeks is how does Drake May play with Jalen Polk, right? Because that's a guy that's going to be here with him for
that's what you're looking for. I'm thinking like, oh, no, my baby's ribs. He's holding his ribs.
How does he play with DeMario Douglas, right? These are guys that are going to be here for a while, right? How does he deal with City So and Mike Onwenu and Layden Robinson up front? Because these are guys that are probably going to be here at least next year, right? So the point, I think to the caller's point, one thing to watch for over these next 12 games here is, or 11, what, 12 games, right? Yeah, is how does May fit with these other guys and how do they all look together? Because I think these are some of the guys that are going to be here next year and the year after and potentially the year after that.
Yeah, I just want to see what it looks like not taking a snap from shotgun like he has been his entire life before this.
I would
Colton,
like that too.
Colton of Chicopee. Colton, thanks so much for calling KJ and Lyons. Welcome to the congregation.
What's up, fellas? All right, can we agree right now that Drake May today is better than Jacoby Brissett? Yes or no?
Yeah, as a passer, he probably is.
Perceptively on Madden, yeah, yes. Like, we just have to see what he can do in a full game.
I don't know how he is, like, feeling pressure or commanding the offense, but as a passer, I would say yes.
Right, we're not against what you're saying, but, you know, again, sure. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, all right. This is what I got. He's a number three pick for a reason, obviously. He can move, and in the preseason, honestly, he ran past guys, so like he made men look like a man amongst boys. Sorry, I totally blocked that. In the preseason, what I'm saying is that the guys that are around him, second stringers, even on the pass, you know, obviously suck. So once they get help on the O-line and get help in the receiver room, then obviously I think the kid can lead an offense. Hopefully he can get a faster offense. And, you know, I think it would be scarier with May, behind getting the snap. So I don't know. I like Drake May. I got a lot of hope for him.
Colton, thanks for the call. Now, here's something, John, and this kind of goes back to what we discussed last week when Davante Adams' name came up. Remember we played the cut where Davante Adams was waxing poetic to Robert Kraft about him hiring Jerod Mayo? I don't think you can have a conversation about Davante Adams. Doesn't mean he's coming here, but I think the Patriots will at least be able to have that conversation if Drake May is not the quarterback. So I think you would have to say, okay, Drake May is the guy, and this may be the guy we can get for 2 years at 28. Let's not get into the numbers about it. But at least you're doing that versus saying, yeah, bring him here while Jacoby's still there, and then once we move over to Drake, like, no, Davante doesn't have that type of time. So if there's someone he can grow with like that, then maybe that may be part of why you make this move and make this play.
I think one thing to the – and I agree with the caller. Like, I think May is going to be a good player, and I did want to see him play this year, just maybe not today. However, one thing I think we need to be careful about, I know May flashed some really good plays in the preseason, but that is a light year away from what he's going to see on Sunday.
Basic defenses, like, second, third string guys.
And, you know, guys that – and not to be unkind here, KJ, but a lot of those guys he was playing against probably aren't in the league right
they're
now.
They're not in the league.
Or they're backups, right? And they weren't game planning for him. They weren't in full mid – because we're getting to the midseason point. They weren't in midseason form, midseason shape, and they weren't as talented. Like, that Eagles defense was really talented. The Washington defense that he saw was not nearly as talented as this Houston one. So I just, again, a word of caution. Yes, he made some exciting plays in the preseason, but that is a light year of difference between what he's going to see on Sunday.
Text line 37937. Zach, what you got?
One texter wants to see the Joe Milton experience begin because he's a bit of an older rookie at 24 years old, and May is just too big of an investment to put into a game right now.
Well, I think you have to spend that investment at some point, but I think if Milton is running parallel in terms of, you know, being here with Drake May, and Drake May doesn't work out, I hate to say this, but have you seen how the league is going now? So maybe Joe Milton is a two-year development, where if Drake May doesn't work out come three or four, you don't think you're going to sign him again. You got somebody even cheaper. Well, what round again, by the way?
Sixth, I think. Yeah, and look, I like Joe Milton. I think he's fun. I'm not trying to be rude to the texters here, but I don't want to talk about Joe Milton.
Why not? You talk about offensive linemen, and that is the most boring.
No, because it's unrealistic, and it would be, a huge sign.
That's like sex ed class with no pictures.
I don't get the comparison there. Can you explain
just the
that
words?
In detail to me and Zach?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to walk me right into legal. Very good. Thank you very much. Okay. One more text message.
If the difference between May having a good career and not is a couple weeks, then he's already not good.
See, I'm glad you read that text, Zach, because I saw it. And look, here's what I'm getting at, okay, is a huge thing in winning organizations, and I've talked about this before, and I know people don't like to hear about it, but you talk to any winning organization, one of the words almost all of them use is process. And it feels like the process to get to this point, I'm not telling you it's been a disaster or
Heim
terrible.
Bloom used that term, didn't he?
But it feels like the process to get here has not been as clean as it should have been. And that's why I'm concerned. It's not, I think he's going to be good, and I do want him to play this year. But I just look at the way things have gone these first 5 weeks. I look at the timing of this. It just feels like the process and things are not as buttoned up and not as sharp as they need to be. And I think we've seen some of that evidence in games. They've lost multiple games already because they haven't been sharp enough. I'm worried this process is not sharp enough, and that is a long-term red flag. I'm not saying it's, but it's just something it's worth mentioning and worth keeping an eye on, and that's why I'm a little concerned.
Yeah, so, right.
So I guess you're saying there's a vast difference between what you expect and what... See, there you go.
Divergence, maybe.
Okay, there you go. Bob and Joe, we've got your calls next. We'll pick up Would You Rather, More Likely To, either or on the other side. It's KJ Lyons. Hour 2 is next here on WEEI.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.